Well, thank you all for coming. Can you hear me? You really can? I don't have to talk any louder than this. That's good, because I'm not going to. All right. Now, a number of you have taken my class before, so you've probably heard some of this bel canto talk before. But since that's the name of the course, we're going to talk about bel canto just for a few minutes. Any of you not remember what bel canto means? Nope, you all know what it means. The direct translation of bel canto from the Italian would be?
Beautiful singing.
The audience participation, please. Beautiful singing. That's right, bel canto. That's what it is. And we're going to sum up about 500 years of singing evolution and history in about 5 minutes. The bel canto is, of course, it began roughly 500 years ago in Florence, Italy. And the Caccini family were instrumental in that. There are a number of the early Italian operas, and the very first opera really was a Caccini opera. Monteverdi came to Florence and saw that opera and was much impressed, and then he improved on the original, and the rest is history, and we moved into the age of grand opera. The singing techniques that were required for this music, since the bel canto was emulating Greek tragedy and Greek theater, hence there are many Greek terms in theatrical language, like opera is a Greek term, and proscenium and a lot of the other words that we use come from the Greek and Roman traditions. And the idea that they had was to recreate the old Greek operas in the texts of which and the stories of which had survived, but the music had been lost. And so it was kind of theater archaeology of an early sort. The type of singing that was required required the invention of the so-called recitative, which means a kind of a speak-sing. That was the part of the opera when you would speak along in a recitative form and tell the story. The aria grew out of the necessity to take a stop in the story and express emotions or reactions or things to what was going on in the story. Like some messenger would run in and say, "The king is dead, long live the king," and then you would turn and sing your aria about how you felt about that. And that's kind of roughly the structure. That meant that the text was paramount. You had to be able to understand the text. Plus, another ideal was to have beautiful tone and pure vowels so that the text would be glorified in a way. And the other, of course, was agility and flexibility so that you could show off your technique and sing a lot of notes in a short amount of time. And to be able, the flexibility also covered dynamics, flexibility of dynamics from loud to soft and back again on one breath, for instance. And these techniques were then taught in the Camerata and in other music schools that developed along the time. I believe that the bel canto, as we have learned it, really peaked and got to its zenith during the 18th the 18th century. And it began to wane in the beginning of the 19th century as the Romantic era came along. And we began to see through composed operas that were about subjects other than Greek gods and kings and queens and things. And the opera became more of a romantic or a theatrical or dramatic event. And the art of the bel canto began to wane. In our day and age, I think the bel canto really made a big comeback with the likes of Maria Callas. And her generation of singers, she was very instrumental in bringing that back. So that it's not always about the big-sized dramatic voice. It's also about the craft and the artistry with which you use your voice. That if God didn't give you a stadium type of a voice, you can learn the bel canto techniques and impress with your flexibility, your beauty of color, and the clarity of your diction. That would cover our three ideals. That means pure vowels, beautiful tone, and flexibility. Those are the three ideals. How do you get there? Well, years of training and study. Sounds like a bore, but it's actually quite an interesting journey. If you enjoy the process of learning to sing that way and you enjoy the training, then you're in the right business, because it's going to occupy your days for a long time. So, in other words, if you hate to practice, you're probably in the wrong business. So, the bel canto singers of old, they started at the age of 7 or 8. They would be checked into these schools by their parents in the hopes that they would become successful and rich as singers, if they weren't gentry or otherwise endowed. And those singers would work. They had schoolwork to do, but most of their time was spent in music training with composition, theory, singing. They sang in choirs, they sang in solos, and by the time they were teenagers, they were very, very accomplished. Most of our modern kids today don't have an opportunity, anything close to that. But at what cost? They were single-purpose beings, and if they didn't make it as singers, they probably ended up as a Kapellmeister in some little village somewhere, you know. So there were many stories. I think you all understand that this class is not just about learning your technique and your bel canto, but also how to present yourself. How to present yourself as a singer, as an artist, and the art of forgetting yourself and going into depth, the depth of your performance, and becoming a vessel or a medium for that music, and trying to forget your self-consciousness, your daily woes and troubles, and forget all that and just be the singer, the singer. All of us are singers. We partake in this art for the time we're here, and then we pass the torch to the next generation. That's how that goes. So being mortal the way we are, we sing for a time, and then we don't sing, and the next people start singing. That's sort of how it goes. So that the passing along of the teaching of the bel canto and of performance skills is a very important part of our work as singers, that it's important to pass that along. So I guess without further ado, we'd like to hear the first of you brave souls who would like to present your song. I love a quick hand raiser. And you know the drill. You come onto the stage as a singer, starting with the upstage foot. I'll explain that later. You remember the upstage foot? Kind of. Do you know which is upstage and which is down? Upstage is that away. Downstage is that away. Yep. And remember, the dinner dates come from the top balcony. So you always have to sell it right in the middle. Anybody got a beer coaster for this chair? A couple of beer coasters. I always had those handy in Germany. I don't find those over here.